Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
So we have three questions. First, how do you get peace with God? Not everyone gets this peace because not everyone receives the Prince of Peace. So you say, well, how do I go about receiving the Prince of Peace then? One word, faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first question, peace with God. Now the next question, how do you use that to gain peace in your personal relationships? You got peace with God, how do you get peace with people? I'll say at the outset, this is something you don't have total control over, right? Because even if you do everything right, the other person might not be willing to live at peace with you, and we understand that. And Scripture acknowledges that, Romans 12:18, which says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So we know it doesn't 100% depend on you. God only holds you responsible for the part that you have actual control over. But that part that you have responsibility over, that's actually a pretty hefty part, isn't it? I mean, you can do quite a bit. There is really is a lot you can do. You can overlook small irritations without becoming irritable, right? You can fully forgive any size evil done against you from your heart. You could be patient with the person even while he's continuing to sin against you. You could repay evil with kindness. You could overcome evil with good. You could turn away wrath with a soft answer. You could absorb insults and just let them slide off your back like water off a duck's back instead of making a federal case out of it, right? When somebody insults you. You can refuse to engage in arguments and quarrels. You can assume the best motives in people's hearts instead of pretending you have insights into people's hearts. You can listen to people with such compassion and love that they don't want to fight against you anymore. You can humble yourself and serve the other person and pray for them. There's a whole lot of stuff you can do on your end to live at peace with people. But none of that is especially easy, is it? I mean, if you're at odds with somebody right now, that whole list I just read probably grated against your soul, right? It's just hard. It's hard, especially when that person is currently hurting you deeply. Deeply. So how do you do it? How do you get yourself to be willing to do all that stuff that you know you should be doing, but in your heart, all you want to do is just retaliate in some way? It's not a bad question for us to ask at Christmas time, honestly, because let's face it, Christmas time is when you get together with family, and honestly, certain family relationships are strained, aren't they? I mean, there's just some family relationships that are tough. And on top of that, we tend to have conflicts, even with family members that we get along great with, just because, especially the holidays, because some about the holidays come along with lots of expectations, and family members have a way of messing up our expectations. So how do we use our peace with God to enable ourselves to live at peace with one another? One great answer to that question is found in Ephesians 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. What a great verse. How do I do that, Paul? How do I get rid of all that stuff? All that anger and bitterness and everything? Next verse. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You will be able to show compassion to people who are currently hurting you, and you'll be able to be patient with them, and you'll be able to forgive them and be tender-hearted toward them when you have a profound awareness of how much God has forgiven you. This is the point of the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. It's the whole point of that parable. Remember the guy that wouldn't forgive after he was just forgiven the huge amount? Normally, here's the thing about that parable. Normally, it would be understandable for a guy to take legal action against a guy who owes him 100 denarii. That's a third of a year's wages. That's 100 days' wages. That's like, if you make $60,000 a year, that's like $20,000. That's a big, I mean, if someone owes you $20,000, they're not paying, you take legal action, that would be reasonable, normally. But the reason it's outrageous in this story for that guy to do that is because of how much he had just been forgiven. 10,000 talents, that's like trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, it's more money than was even in circulation in the Roman Empire. It's a ridiculous sum. And that's how much he was forgiven. And so the point of the parable is this. There's no way you can be bitter towards someone who's hurting you while at the same time remembering how much you've been forgiven. There's no way. You can't do it. The only way to have an unforgiving, bitter, angry heart is to forget the enormity of the price that Jesus had to pay to forgive your sins. Cultivate a sense of amazement at how much you've been forgiven, at the fact that you're forgiven. Amazement. Be amazed that you have peace with God. When we start taking our forgiveness for granted, we're like, oh yeah, of course I'm forgiven. I'm a Christian, whatever. And you don't even think about how much I've been forgiven a little bit. And you can get so you're more amazed at how much people are hurting you than you are at the fact that you're forgiven. And that, when you get to that point, forgiving others will seem impossible. It'll feel impossible. Cultivate a sense of amazement at how much you've been forgiven and how much mercy you have been shown. And that will enable you to be tender-hearted towards anyone. Because no one has sinned against you as much as you have sinned against God. Will people take advantage of you if you do that? Yes, sure they will. Of course they will. But so what? I mean, God will take care of that. He can take care of that. Can God handle that? Yeah, can you handle that? No. So why even bother with it anyway? I mean, you can't do anything. You could try, but as hard as you try to bring about justice, as hard as you try to get back at the person, you can't bring about real justice. You can't solve any of these problems. Just leave it up to God. Our role is to be tender-hearted. Don't you love that word? Tender-hearted and forgiving as we have been forgiven. Jesus gave his life for us, and then he turns to us and just like, for my sake, will you just forgive each other? Well, that's how you use your peace with God to have peace with one another. How about peace within ourselves? Inner peace. How do you get so your peace use your peace with God to calm your agitated, fearful, worrying, fretting, anxious, guilty, self-loathing, condemning heart? How do you get that to calm down? How do you replace all that with feelings of joy and hope and peace inside? Well, the answer to that is in Romans 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you, this is going to shock you, trust in Him so that you may be overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The way you get inner peace is by trusting Him. Same way. It's always by faith. It always comes from trusting Him. Now that you have peace with God, and now that God is only for you and not against you, you can trust Him with all the anxieties that are attacking your heart. I love Philippians 4:6. It says this, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a good word, again, at Christmas time. Christmas time is hard for some of you. I know you don't have any family, or you're reminded of the loss of a loved one, or all kinds of problems that come up, all kinds of anxieties, all kinds of sorrow and sadness. What will guard? You know, this verse that says it'll guard your hearts and minds. Guard? I mean, what do I need to be guarded from? What is the danger? What is the threat lurking out there that I need to be protected and guarded from so that the peace of God, by the peace of God that transcends understanding? What is it that you need to be protected from by this peace that transcends understanding? Answer? All the things that don't transcend understanding. All the things that you do understand. That's what you need protection from. Things that your brain understands. Like, I don't have enough money to pay the bills this month. And that's a fact. Or the fact that this problem in your home doesn't have a solution. Or the fact that right around the corner, pain is waiting for me. This physical problem is getting worse. See, our brain, our understanding, the things that we can understand are loaded with reasons why we need to be worried and anxious and afraid and agitated and upset. Those anxieties threaten you. They are against you, and you will be safe from them only when the peace of God that transcends understanding guards both your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How does that happen? What does it say? In Christ Jesus. You got to use your peace with God in order for this to work. When you have peace with God, one by one, you can cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Knowing that He cares for you, you can do that with thanksgiving, it says. With thanksgiving, which is, that's fascinating because that's before He answers the prayer. That's while you're praying. While you're saying, God, help me with this. Oh, and thank you for whatever you're going to do in response to this prayer. You don't wait for Him to answer and then say thank you. You say thank you while you're praying. When you do that, that shows you really trust Him. You really trust Him. You can't say that if somebody you don't trust. If you don't trust them, you wait and see what they do, and then you decide whether to thank. But if you really trust Him, then you can offer the prayer with thanksgiving, and that's when the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your heart. That's how you get peace from worry. Get to peace from worry. That takes care of worry. What about the self-condemnation part? How do you set your heart at rest when your heart's condemning you? It's just condemning you. It's burying you with guilt. How do you handle that? By reading Romans 8:1, which says, therefore, that there is now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ. God's not condemning you. He's not. Is He sad because of the sins you commit? Yeah. Is He condemning you? No. Is He rejecting you? No. Is your acceptance with God in jeopardy? No. So if your heart is condemning you and God's not condemning you, then the big question is, whose judgment matters more in your heart? Yours or God's? Which judgment are you going to spend your time thinking about? You've arrived at one conclusion based on your performance. God has arrived at an opposite conclusion based on His desire to honor His Son. So which conclusion is the one that's going to reign supreme in your heart and in your affections? Who's greater, you or God? 1 John 3:19 gives the answer to that. It says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts. God's greater. His judgments are better. They're more accurate. They trump yours. Spend your time thinking about what God says. Much, much, much more time thinking about what God says than you spend just looking into your own heart. My Christmas wish for you tonight, it's the same wish that the angels gave. It's the same one. Peace. I want you to have peace. If you're trying to gain inner peace or peace in your relationships, but you don't have peace with God yet, you're wasting your time. Don't let another Christmas day pass, ignoring the greatest news ever to be delivered to the earth because of the arrival of the Prince of Peace into the world. You can have peace with God. Don't pass that up. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ now. Right now. And for those of you who already do have peace with God, use that. Use it. Use it this Christmas to build peace with those around you. Use it to treat them the way you've been treated by God and to be amazed at how much you've been forgiven. And use it to calm all the anxieties and fears in your own heart by trusting the one in whose sight you are a delight and who is only for you and never against you.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been edified by today's podcast, and if you have, why not share it on Facebook or send a link to a friend? Between now and Christmas, we'll be airing excerpts from some favorite Christmas messages. The full versions of all our sermons and other resources are available for free on treasuringgod.com or on the Food for Your Soul sermon app. We're looking forward to season 3 of the Food for Your Soul podcast. It will be all about stress and anxiety and how to enjoy the peace of God when you are under pressure. That will begin Monday, January 6th. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we have planned for you in 2020. And if you would like to be part of making those plans come to fruition, please consider a generous year-end gift to Food for Your Soul. Gifts are tax-deductible, and you can give online at treasuringgod.com or mail a check to the address you find on that website. We are so thankful for all of you, and we're especially grateful for your prayers for the ministry. We pray for you too. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.